Good morning. Good morning. Chapter 12 of Daniel, it's the last chapter. And I had hoped, the original plan was to finish this in the first half of the class and then begin a review of the entire Sefer. But the review most probably will have to wait until next week, and we're going to give you some homework before the end of class in order to prepare you for the test. Mom, you're going to note Daniel backwards and forwards. Last chapter. Chapter 12, and you have on the sheets, you have in front of you, you have the classical portion on chapter 12. Uba'itahit. Ya'amod Michael Hasar HaGadol, and at that time there will arise Michael, the great officer, the great minister of the Jewish people. Michael is our Malach, our angel in heaven. Some say that his name comes from Micho Mocha Bo Elim, who is like you amongst the gods. Who is like you, God? Who is like you, Israel? Micho Mocha, who is like you, Israel? At that time, Ya'amod Michael Hasar HaGadol Ha'omeid Al Bnei Amecha, the one who stands by the children of your people. V'hayta Eitz Tzara, and it's going to be a time of trouble. There was no such trouble from the time that Klal Yisrael became a nation until that time. And at that terrible time, Yimaleit Amcha, your people are going to be rescued, saved. They're going to survive. Kol hanimtza katuv basefer, whoever's name is found written in the book. The fascinating thing about Ba'et Hahi is the term Ba'et Hahi appears three times, or eight appears three times in the pasuk. Uba'et Hahi, the beginning of the pasuk. V'hayta Eitz Tzara, asher lo nihiyata mihiyot goy ad ba'et ha'hi u'ba'et ha'hi. That means the words ba'et ha'hi at that time appear three times in the pasuk. The word eight appears a fourth time in the pasuk. The ba'et ha'hi, in a sense, reflects what we know from the other Nevi'im, great pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Hoy wo ki gadol hayom hahu me'ein kamahu, that day is great, there is none like it. The eight tzarahi liyakov umimenu yivasher. This is a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. It is an eight tzarah. It is a time of tzarah to Yaakov, and Yaakov will be saved and rescued from that terrible eight tzarah. The Eben Ezra says that this eight tzara that we are talking about is going to be an eight tzara of kol ha'olam. It's not going to be an eight tzara, a time of terrible trouble, only for the Jewish people. It's going to be eight tzara for the entire world. Who are the ones that are going to be rescued? So it says that Klal Yisrael will be rescued from the tzara. It does not mean that there won't be losses. But Yimaleit means that there are those who will flee or those who will remain. Kol hanimtza katov basefer, whoever is found written in a book. One of the Mepharshim says, Elohim, who are the ones written in the book? That's Kol Yisrael, all of Israel. Shekulam ketuvim al hasefer, all of them are written in God's good book. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu that says, Kol ha-katuv l'chayim, all who are written for life, b'Yerushalayim, are in Yerushalayim. It also means, I don't know, it's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Kol ha-katuv l'chayim b'Yerushalayim? Does it mean, maybe the book is someplace in Yerushalayim? I don't know where the names are, but this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Birushalayim ubahar tzion. I think it's Yoel who says ubahar tzion tihiyah plate on har tzion. There will be a remnant. We're talking about a terrible, terrible period of time that is going to overwhelm the world, and we have no way of knowing from any of them, of course, what terrible sorrow we're talking about. We can all start imagining all sorts of things, but we have no way of really saying what it is. I mean, of course, when you talk about something that a tzara that befell the Jewish people from the, as the pasuk says, Ashalom nihiyatam mihiyot goy. A tzara that overwhelms the Jewish people worse than anything from the time that they had become a nation. What's Michoel going to do? Michoel, of course, it would seem, is going to stand there, as the Metzudas David says, and you have it on the sheet down below, Yamod Michoel Levakei Shirachamim al Yisrael. He's going to stand in order to ask for mercy for the Jewish people. And who is this Michoel, the Pasuk says, goes on the Metzudas David, Hasar HaGadol Ha'omeid al Bnei Amecha. What does it mean, Ha'omeid al Bnei Amecha? Ha'rogil Lamo Tamid L'lameid Sanegoria al Yisrael, the one who always stands there in order to speak in the defense of the Jewish people. I'm continuing in the Metzudas, V'haita az tihye eit zora al Yisrael, there's going to be a tzara that's going to come upon the Jewish people that they had never suffered from the time they became a nation. Ad ha'etay until that time. Hachi ha'keren ha'ze'ira shehi mamlechet Yishmael yeitzar lahem ma'od. The Metzudas David says that it refers, earlier we learned about this great frightening beast that has a little horn that comes out, and that little horn, well, there are some who said that the little horn is Rome, which of course represents the Christian world. The Metzudas David says that it is the world of Yishmael. The world of Yishmael is going to bring great sorrows upon Klal Yisrael. All right. Next pasuk. I wanted to say the stance. Why did you say stand silent? Of course. That's a good point. But I was afraid to go in. Not afraid to go into it, but
another place, huh?
Ya'amod. Yeah, we had it in Nehemiah. Ya'amod. Rashi learns, and a number of other portion means not merely to stand, but to stand at silence, in silence. I don't know, I mean, if Michoel would know that this is Chukas Hagoy, you understand, standing at silence, I don't know whether Michoel would have done it, but nobody seems to have let him in on the on this secret. Well, I don't know, well, take a look, Rashi says, Ubaitahi Yamod Michael Yishtatek, he will be silenced ki ilaim, like one who is incapable of speaking. Sheyira HaKadosh Baruch Hu Don V'Atzmo, because he's going to see God himself sitting in judgment. V'Omer, he says, Heich E'evad Ge'uma G'dola Kizu B'Shvil Yisrael. In other words, Israel is going to be hanging in the balance because God is going to wonder, should I destroy this great nation because of Israel? V'Haita E'tzara, it's going to be a time of tzara. B'Tamayya Shel Mala. Rashi learns that the eight tzara is going to be not only down here, it's going to be up there. They're going to be standing and speaking out against Israel. The Tamayi Shalmal of the heavenly family, the category of the Talmidei Chachamim, and there's going to be a condemnation of Talmidei Chachamim. The Gemara talks about Bezuzeyu, Bezuzey to Bezuzey, which means taking spoil and even more spoil. In other words, a diminishing of the greatness of Talmidei Chachamim. Now, Rashi on Kol HaNimtza Katuv BaSefer is not talking about a sefer. According to him, it's not a book that has the names of Jews in it. Kol HaKatuv BaSefer, he says, anybody who was alluded to in this sefer, Haneza Mikra Kotzer, it's a short pasuk, Kom Hanimtzo Katuv B'Sefer Zeh. Ayyidei HaChalomot HaKetuvim Bo, Ad Ketilat Chevota, V'Yekavun Malchuta Kadishe, Eyonin HaKol Yitkayim. He says the following, you will recall that we have at least two chapters in which two chapters end by describing the fifth kingdom. The fifth kingdom is going to be the kingdom of God, the great kingdom of the Jewish people. All of these troubles are going to come until the time that there will be fulfilled whatever is written in this book. Kol hanimtza katuv b'sefer, Rashi learns, everything is going to happen as it is written in this book, that there will be the four great kingdoms. The fourth kingdom is going to be the worst of them all, and it's going to last for a long time, until ultimately will come the kingdom of God. V'rabim mi'yishenei admat afar yakitzu. This pasuk is an extremely important pasuk. There are two psukim in this chapter, this last chapter of Daniel, that express two fundamental principles of the Jewish faith. And this pasuk, as we will see in a moment, is the pasuk that more clearly than any other pasuk in all of Tanakh enunciates the principle of Tchiyat HaMetim, that the resurrection of the dead. Verabim, and many, Mishene Admat Afar Yakitsu, who sleep in the earth, will awaken. In other words, the imagery that is used over here is that the dead are not dead, but the dead are merely sleeping. Certainly, we who believe in Tchiyat HaMetim must see the dead as sleeping, and therefore the metaphor is they will awaken, Yakitsu. Eile lechaye olam, the tzaddikim will arise for eternal life afterwards. The eile and the rishoyim lecharafot, for shame, lidiron olam, for eternal embarrassment. There was a letter, one of the great letters of the Rambam. One of them is called Igeret Tchiyat HaMetim, the letter of the resurrection of the dead. The brief history behind this letter is the following. After the Rambam wrote his Perush HaMishnah, his commentary on the Mishnah that we discussed yesterday, he was 23 years old, and in his introduction to the last chapter in Masechet Sanhedrin, there he enunciates the 13 principles of the faith. So the 12th is the belief, Amimam in Demuna Shlema B'Diyat HaMashiach, the coming of the Messiah. The 13th is Tchiyat HaMetim, the resurrection of the dead. And of all things, there were people by whom the Rambam couldn't do anything right. Proof of his greatness is that he was attacked sometimes from all sorts of sources. Of course, the judgment of history is the most important judgment of all. Klal Yisrael usually has a healthy sense of what has tremendous eternal value and whatnot. The Rambam had people who are opposed to him. And therefore, there are those who began a campaign that the Rambam doesn't really believe in the resurrection of the dead. Why did they do this? Because when he describes the 13 articles of the faith, he speaks sort of at greater length about the first 12, and when he comes to the 13th, he just sort of, for all intents and purposes, just states the belief. We believe that when God will it, the dead will come back to life. So therefore, he didn't write enough about it. That means he doesn't really believe in it so much. And he had a student who was living in Baghdad and kept writing to him, listen, Rebbe, you should know that the voices being raised against you are becoming louder and louder. And the Rambam at first didn't pay any attention to it because to him it was absolutely mad. But I said clearly, article number 13 is that you have to believe in the resurrection and the death. But the groundswell of opposition to the Rambam became that great that he had to write a letter called Ma'amar or Igeret Tchiyat Hamitim. And he describes why he originally didn't want to react or respond. I mean, you can't respond to everybody's criticism. You can spend your whole life just responding to criticism. So he explains why he didn't. He couldn't believe at first that they were really accusing him of something of that sort, because he knows, he wrote it clearly, and he knows what he believes. So anyway, this whole mama, this whole letter, talks about the resurrection of the dead. I'm just going to read a few lines. From his letter, I am going to explain to you in this article he's going to have to explain, he tells you in advance, he's going to have to explain that there are many psukim in Torah that he and other Mepharshim of Torah understand them allegorically. For example, the Rambam has a whole section in which he deals with the Gor Ze'ev in Keres. Yeshayahu in chapter 11 describes how the lamb is going to lie down with the wolf and the chreis, the lion and the tiger, with the kachka, I don't know, and little children are going to play with serpents and with pythons and all of that. So the Rambam explains that since the days of Mashiach, the nature of the world is going to continue, so it doesn't really mean that a baby is going to play with a little with a poisonous snake. The allegory, the muscle that Yeshayahu is writing for us is that people who are at war with one another, age-old enmities are going to come to an end. I imagine it means the Protestants and the Catholics in Northern Ireland are going to live side by side. It means the blacks and the Puerto Ricans in Holland, maybe even the Jews and the Arabs in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam learns it allegorically. So most probably one of the complaints against him was maybe he holds that those psukim that talk about Tchiyas HaMeisim are also to be understood allegorically. It doesn't really mean the dead are going to come back to life. It may have some other thing. You know, people's memories will live on forever. I mean, I can make all sorts of semantics about what it could mean. So the Rambam says, I am going to explain to you in this letter why we can't explain the psukim of Kriyat HaMetim in an allegorical way as we have done to other psukim. V'chein, I'm also going to explain to you, Zot Tchiyat HaMeitim, Hu Shov HaNefesh LaGuf Achat HaMoved. I'm going to make it very clear that the Tchiyat HaMeitim doesn't mean something nebulous, ephemeral, you know, some kind of eternal life. It means the soul is going to come back into the body the way it was. After death, this is going to happen. Kvar Zechoro, Daniel has already mentioned this. Zichron, he mentions it in a way you can't explain it allegorically or homiletically or sermonically. There's a pasuk in Daniel which is so absolutely clear. There are no two ways to understand the pasuk, only one. Vuhu amro. And that is what Daniel said. The Rabbi Yishene Admat Ofar Yokitsu Ela Lachaye Olam the Ela Lacharavot Lidin On Olam. Says the pasuk is clear. Many of those who sleep in the ground are going to awake, and they're going to have Chaye Olam afterwards. I mean, it's clear. In addition to that, if you will take a look at the very last pasuk in this chapter, the last pasuk in chapter 12, which really means the last pasuk in Sefer Daniel, the Malach says to him, "Va'ato leich lakeitz, you go, you Daniel, go off toward the the end, the tanua, you're going to rest. The rest over here means death. The tamod l'korolcha, and you are going to arise for your destiny, l'keitz hayamin, at the end of days. This, by the way, is said by Rabbi Levaya here in Yerushalayim. Leich l'keitz, the tanuach l'goro, the tamod l'korolcha, l'keitz hayamin. So the Rambam quotes this pasuk as well, and he says the Malach is clearly telling Daniel, you will die, but then you are going to rise again at the end of days. This is another sentence or two in the Rambam. The Rambam says, Misha Zohar, whoever mentioned Sha'anachnu amarnu b'tchiyat ha-meitim shevamikro shehu mashal, anybody who ever said in our name, that's us, the Rambam, that tchiyat ha-meitim, the resurrection of the dead, is nothing more than a mashal, who sheker mefursam, you should know this is a lie, u'dvar sora, he has said something about me that is just all wrong, they lie about him. Isn't that interesting? World never changes. Never changes. The Rama makes it clear, never did I say about these psukim in Daniel or other psukim that talk about the Tchiyat HaMeitim that it is no more than allegory and refers to something else. Oh, Shekem Mefursam Udvar Sov Sorov Gomur Me'omro. Our books have already been, the books that we've written have already become known. V'yikru, v'yiru, read it and see. Ona amarnuze, where did we say this? Where did we ever say that Tchiyat HaMeitim is no more than a marshal? He says the only place that somebody could have misunderstood something of this sort is because there are those who say by the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life the dry bones that they married, they had children, and they died. The bones, the dry bones of Yechezkel. So there was, in a sense, Tchiyat HaMeitim, right? The resurrection of the dead. What happened to the mason, the Gemara asks? What happened to the dead that Yechezkel brought back to life? So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says that they got up and they sang songs of praises to God and they died. Rabbi Yochanan says they went on Aliyah. He says that on a number of occasions. They went on Aliyah, they married, they had children, and they lived normal lives, and then they died. So there you have an instance of Tchiyas HaMeisim that, you know, sort of, it all, it's not L'chayei Olam, not for eternal life. So he says, maybe somebody made a mistake with that, but that's not what the Pasuk in Daniel is saying. That was a prophecy of Yechezkel. The Pasuk in Daniel is saying, V'rabim yishenei admas ofor yakitu, eila L'chayei Olam, Ve'ela lecharafot l'deder on olam leich tamod tanuach v'tamod l'goral chalik. So I mean, these two psukim in Daniel are absolutely clear. And the Rambam further says that there is no other place in all of Tanakh that is as clear as Daniel. Yes. I don't know. The Rambam was probably here, and I haven't gone through the Rambam's letter in many years. In other words, I imagine that, listen, just like Olam Abba is both for Jews and non-Jews. Chassidei Umos Olam have Olam Abba. Maybe they will have Tchiyas HaMeisim too. I wouldn't. I see that, yeah, now I know that I'll never get through chapter 12. Yes, go ahead. All the hands flying into the air. Yes.
It says nothing about those that are limited to time that continue living. Does it seem everyone would have to die and then be resurrected?
I would have to give you a whole shiur in Tchiyas HaMeisim. There are different, most probably we'd have to live that long too for me to give you all of the various reflections. There are those who say, it doesn't mamish mean eternal life, like life of 1,000 years and then the world will come to an end, because remember, according to the Rambam, the real ultimate reward is not the physical world, but the Olam HaNeshamos, the world of the spirit, where the spirit, the neshama, enjoys the presence of the Rebbeinu Shem. So all of this is in this mimer of the Rambam. Yes, Shimon probably wants to know, as the Rambam says, that all that people want to know about Tchiyat HaMeitim, they get up dressed or not dressed, and if it's with clothing, is it the clothing that of the period, you understand, and you'll get up at the millennium, you understand, wearing clothing from the gay 90s, that's not what. Yes, go ahead.
I remember a number of years ago, that's why it's not so clear to me, Rabbi Wong had said that the criticism that was directed at the Rambam was because of the form that Kriya Hamasim was going to take. That's where he differed. He said things would be a lot more natural. It wouldn't be, you know, miracles, and that it would take, the world wouldn't change.
I don't know. I'm not sure what you're talking about, and I'm not going to speak for Rabbi Wein. You know, he can do that very well for himself. He may very well, because that sounds to me like a different Rambam. That sounds to me like the Rambam of Yemot HaMashiach, and that's a completely different section in the Rambam. It's not your, I'm afraid that, no. Yemot HaMashiach and Tchiyat HaMeitim are two separate and distinct periods in history. The Rambam has to explain that a number of times. Tchiyat HaMeitim and Yemot HaMashiach are two. Yemot HaMashiach is the one that is coming soon. Yemot HaMashiach is a period in history. The period of Tchiyat HaMeitim is in a sense a period of meta-history. In other words, Yemot HaMashiach means the period of time in which what Daniel is talking about, that there's going to be the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God. No, it's going to be a period in history. And the Rambam says there's going to be a great king from the house of David, and his name is going to be Mashiach. And during that period of time, in the Yemot HaMashiach, everything will continue normally as before. People will be born, and people will die, and people will get married, and people will have children. Because there are certain Gemaras that leave the impression that that the Yemot HaMashiach, you know, you'll just go out into your backyard and you'll pick a loaf, and you can have a Berman's bread or an angel's bread, and just pick it off and come into the house. The Rambam says, and it's the opinion of Shmuel in the Gemara, Ein bein olam hazel liyemot hamashiach elo shibud malchiyot tuvad. Shmuel says the only difference between life now and the period of Mashiach is that the yoke of the nations will be lifted from upon the Jewish people, but otherwise everything else is going to continue as normal. There will be a period following that. In other words, the period of Yemot HaMashiach can be a period of 1,000 years, a millennia, the seventh millennia. And that's before Tchiyas HaMeisim, and afterwards comes Tchiyas HaMeisim.
So when you read Daniel, things go together, doesn't it?
Nothing goes together. Wait till the end of the chapter. I think I'm going to prohibit all questions until the end of the chapter, because Daniel is going to be answering more questions than you can even ask. All right. So that's Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis is the Pasuk that the Rambam says is the clearest of all in all of Tanakh. You can't learn this Pasuk allegorically. You can't read into it homiletics or sermonics. The Hamaskilim, the intelligent ones, and over here it does not mean stam intelligent, maskilim as we once knew it in the last century. The maskilim, says Rashi, sho'os uba Torah uba mitzvahs, those who study Torah and perform mitzvahs, yazhiru, are going to be shined kezoa harikia with the brilliance of the heavens. Umadzdike harabim, and those who did charity for the community, kakochavim la'olam va'ed, are going to be like stars for eternity. And Matzdiki Aram, as the Gemara says, Matzdiki Aram, those who teach Torah, and because of that, the Metzuda says, Hamelandim derech Hashem, those who teach the way of God, l'rabim, hein yaziru, they're going to shine like the stars. I think the first word that I ever heard from the Rashiv of Baltimore when I came to Baltimore, that was 1954, I think, or the end of 53, so I remember it was some kind of an event honoring one of the Rabbein, so he said, on this pasuk, Matzdike Harabin, that the Gemara says, those who bring justice to the many means, those who teach Torah, why are they like the stars? Why are they like the stars? Why does it say they're going to be Kakochavim La'olam Vayed? So he said the following, because the success of an educator, the success of a Mechanech, depends on his seeing every one of the young people in his charge like stars. What is it that's unique about the star? We look up at the stars and it looks so small, but the fact is the stars are many, many times larger than the world itself. In other words, you have to look at a student, not what you see in front of you, but you have to take a look at the awesome potential, the real greatness that you can bring out in this student. So since the Rebbe, for the Rebbe to be truly successful, he has to look at his students like stars. Right now, twinkle, twinkle, little star, Allah. But the little star really is so massive and so great, such tremendous potential. I like that part. Okay? The Akko Daniel. It's the Malach speaking to Daniel. This is Gabriel, the Malach who was speaking to him earlier. Va'ato Daniel, and you Daniel, stom hadavarim. Seal the words, close them. Va'hatom ha-sefer. And finish the sefer, and in a sense, lock it up. Ad eight kates, until the time will come at the end. Don't tell anybody. In other words, we're not even certain that Daniel knows the truth of when the glorious and great end or the great beginning of a new history is going to be. But he is told clearly that he is to close the things and seal them at eight gates until the end of time. Yeshotetu rabin v'tirbe hadad. Now you know what's going to happen toward the end? Yeshotetu rabin. Many are going to be moving around. Yeshotetu means... there's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I think our Kodesh Baruch Hu says to him, "Shotetu v'chusot Yerushalayim." Go around looking in the streets of Yerushalayim. Is there anybody who's doing justice? Go around, look around. Yeshotetu rabin means many who are looking around. They're searching for some kind of a clue when the end of days will come. V'tirbe hadat, and it's going to be a period of time during which there will be a great a growth of knowledge. There's going to be an explosion of knowledge. Says the Mitzudas David down in there, Pasuk Dalit, Stom hadvarim af hama'akshe yodata. Even the little that you know me, divrei hanevuahai, about that prophecy. Katvein, write them, bedvarim stumim uberumazim. Don't write anything clearly, even that which you do know, but write it in closed words and only bedemes, with hints. The chaton. And seal, katvein the sefer bedvarim chatumim. Sealed words doesn't mean like seal the sefer. It means it should be written as though it is sealed. Be opened, most probably, do not open until eight cakes, and then you will understand retroactively what he meant. The kefal hatovar is really, the Mitzvah says he's repeating the words. The milim shonot, in other words, in different words, lezareis, lezarzo, lehazkiro biyoter. To warn him, be very, very careful. This information simply is not to be permitted out. Ab eight kates you showed it to. Ab bo eight kates hagul, until the end of redemption is going to come. Hine rabim you showed it to, betenuah kamashava. Many are going to move. Their thoughts, their minds are going to move. Lahaskil amitat hakeitz, in order to truly understand the end. V'yitrabe hadat, there's going to be a growth of knowledge. Lachkor v'yoter, and people are going to study and investigate even more. Uka'ome, it's as though he's saying, hineyach kodu at eitz hakeitz. People are going to investigate this until the end of time. There are always going to be people who are going to make all sorts of calculations. Mashiach is coming this year, Mashiach is coming next year, Mashiach is coming in a year and a half, this kind of a simon and that kind of a simon. This pasuk and that pasuk says this is going to go on until the end. V'lo yedu ma'uma. And they're going to know nothing. They're going to know nothing. Avol before 8, when the time will come, only then will the eyes of people be open to understand, oh, that's what Daniel meant. That's what Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu meant. This is an extremely important statement. What do you mean it happened? It's been happening. It's been happening already for 1,000 years. What are you talking about? It's been happening for more than 1,000 years. But wait, we're not finished yet. We're not finished yet. Take a look at the Malbim. The Malbim is on the next page, first column, Va'ata Daniel. And you, Daniel, Pasuk Dalet, Bnei Sheyoda Shehazman Rachok Ma'od, because the Malach knows that the time for Mashiach is very far. Amalei, so he said to him, Shiyadvorim Stumim Adeitz Kates, it should be concealed until the end. Kilo Yala Machshavtom Shehazman Rachok Kolkach, because it would never occur to people that it's that far. You're going to tell them that the goal is going to be in 1,800 years from now, 2,500 years from now. From Daniel's time, it's 2,500 years. Everybody's going to think that the case is going to come in his lifetime. Therefore, let the time be concealed. Let it be a mystery. I will be 8 cases. But when the time of the end comes, Yusar HaSafik, the next few lines of the Malbim are extremely important. But when the time comes, the doubts will begin to be removed. The Choshi is Karev HaZman Yi HaSafik, where it hasn't come closer and closer to the time, the doubts about it will become smaller. Ki Zot Yadanu, because this we know, we know one thing for certain, that the Geula must come before the year 7, the beginning of the 7th millennium. That means by the year 6,000 it must come. That we know. How many years are we from 6,000? 200, what? 241. No, here he said that one thing is definite. Until 6,000, he must come. Now watch. Watch. V'im kein, bizman hakodem, hoya havadai. He says beautifully. He says, in earlier years, the further you were away from the year 6,000, the greater was the doubt. The closer you come to the year 6,000, the doubt becomes less, because the fact is that you're coming closer, which means that because you are coming closer to that time, one should be able to begin to understand the words of Daniel with greater clarity. The further you, if I have to take a look and see something at the end of the book, I can't see it. If I have to see something here in this room, obviously I can see it better. Hey, if something is there just about staring me in the face, I can see it even better. Says the Malbim Din came, Bizman HaKodem, in earlier times, Hoya HaVadai, and after parentheses, Hoya HaVadai, that which was definite, was Muad, was small. And now in the parentheses he says, Shuas Man Shekpar Omar. In other words, we knew already, 2,000 years ago, we knew that the 500 years before that was not the period of the Gula, because it's past already, it's gone. The future, between now and the beginning of the 7th millennium, the year 6,000, Hoya Meruba. Then our ability to see, our doubts, our lack of doubt that which we are definite about becomes greater. As we become closer, come closer to the year 6000, the vadai, that which I know definitely is going to grow, and the doubt is going to become smaller. Therefore, knowledge is going to become greater. He doesn't mean that general knowledge necessarily is going to become greater, but the knowledge of when Mashiach will come, because we will be able to look back on 2,000 years that we can say definitely he didn't come. And we know that. So now, the area of doubt is much, much smaller. So many sources, I can't even begin to tell you. The Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph, Shit Alfei Shoni Hava Alma, 6,000 years is the world. First 2,000 years are Tohu, null and void. The second 2,000 years are Torah. And do you know what happened in the year 2000? Torah was not given in 2000. Torah was given in 2448. Maimon HaSinai was 2448. In the year 2000, Avram was 52 years old, and Hikir es Boro. Avram Avinu discovered God. That was in the year 2000. So the next 2,000 years, the Gemara says, HaTorah. What does the Gemara describe the last 2,000 of the 6,000? Yemot HaMashiach. Because at any time during those 2,000 years, Mashiach can come. Yes. Good. Okay. Good. All right. This Malbim is terribly important. You're going to see right away. V'ra'iti ani Daniel, Pasuk Hey. I, Daniel, saw, v'hine, and behold, shnayim achedim, and then there are another two standing there. Up until now, in the chapter before, it says on the river, Chidekel, standing above the river, was the Malach Gabriel, and the Malach Gabriel has been talking to. All of the stories about the battles between the king of the north and the king of the south, that was chapter 11, all of that was being told to him by the angel Gabriel. And now there are another two peoples, I take back the word people. There are two Omdim there. Gabriel is the one who's speaking to him, and Gabriel at the beginning of this chapter told him that you should know up there, and he had already told it to him earlier, up there you have Michael who speaks out for the Jewish people. But the one who's talking to him now in the last two chapters is Gabriel. Now there are another two others Omdim standing up. By the way, merely by virtue of the fact that it says Omdim, we already know that it's Malachim, that it's angels, because angels are referred to in Sefer Zechariah as Omdim. And the fortunes say very beautifully, a Malach is called an Omed, a man is called a Holech, because a Malach, the angel, at whatever stage he, or at whatever level he is created, that's what he remains forever. There is no growth by the Malach. Because there's no free will, there's no choice, so there cannot be growth. He's an Omed. He stands precisely at the point that he is from the moment of his creation. A human being is a Holech. We go, we move, we grow, we develop, we slide back as well. So there are two others owned in. Echad heino l'svat hayor ve'echad heino l'svat hayor. One is on this side of the river, and the other is on the other side of the river. Was the one that was wearing the silken clothing, and he was the linen clothing. He was the one who had been mentioned in the chapter before. When Gabriel appears to Daniel, he's described as Levush Abadim, wearing the Badim.
Gabriel?
Did I say Gabriel? Gabriel, right. Ashemi ma'al me'me hayor. And he was standing above the waters of the river. That's how he had been described in the chapter 4. So you know what? You know what Daniel says to him? Ad matai ketaplaot. Until when is the miraculous end? When is it going to be? You know, it's Daniel, who's gone through a lifetime of these visions and these dreams, and Malach is speaking to him. He doesn't know when is the miraculous end. And I heard the man wearing the this linen clothing, who was above the waters of the river, by Yodin Yemino Usmolo, he lifted his right and his left hands. In a sense, it's an indication that he is swearing. He's swearing El HaShemayim, to the heavens. By Yishavah B'chei HaOlam. And he swore by God who lives forever. Chei HaOlam. By the way, just as an aside, there is a machloket in Shulchan Aruch. There are a number of places where we describe God as Chai Olamin. Bori Nefoshes Rabos, the Chesuna Kol Moshe Barosa, La'achaz HaNefesh Kol Chai Baruch. What did it say? Chei. There are two nischaot. There are those who say Chei and those who say Chai. And there are questions about, I mean, those who say Chei, of course, the way it says over here. There are two other places where we describe God as Chai, Chai HaOlamim or Chai HaOlamim. In Baruch Shomar. One more place. Alright, it flew out of me, my head. By Yeshua, he swore, by the one who lives forever, Ki lemo'ed mo'adim v'chetzi, a time and a second time, v'chetzi and a half. In other words, whatever the a time is, a mo'ed is, there are going to be two and a half mo'eds. U'kechalot napeitz yad am kodesh, and when the end will come. Now this is fascinating. Napeitz means to be crushed. When Am Kodesh is going to be crushed to the point where it seems as though Klal Yisrael is going to disappear and there's no strength and no might, there's nothing left to Klal Yisrael, and it seems as though it's all over. Tichleno kol eile, all of this will end. Now, at the moment at which it seems that it's all over, you know what? It's going to begin. That's going to be the beginning. Vani shamati. I heard it, Daniel says, the law of in, and I don't understand. I didn't understand. Va'omron, I said, Adoni, my master, mo acharit elo, what is this end? Now, if we have difficulty understanding, remember, Daniel, who's there with the Malach, doesn't understand. Vayomer, so the Malach said to him, Leib Daniel, go Daniel. Kistumim v'chatumim hadvarim. The things are sealed and closed and sealed ad eight kates, until the time of kates. Ad eight kates. It's now. What does it mean ad eight kates? Does it mean we won't know that it is until it is? So I find it extremely significant. Take a look in Rashi. 1, 2, 3, the end of the third line in Rashi. Ad eight kates, ad asher tikrav hagu'ula. See that, Rashi? In other words, it means until the time for Ge'ula is going to grow close. It doesn't mean that we're going to get up one morning, or at least 9 o'clock at night, Chaim Yavin is going to say, Mahapach Gadol. Mashiach Higi Hayom, you know. Okay. It's not the way it's going to be. Ad 8 Kates, Rashi makes it very clear that as the Geula comes close, isn't that really what the Malvin was saying when we saw the Malvin? The closer you get, the better he looks. The more you can see. It's going to be very important. Yidbaridu, v'yitlabnu, v'yitzarfu, rabim. Very important pasuk. Yidbarer means things will become clear. Yitlabnu, they will become cleansed. Yitzarfu, they will become a tzaref, is a smith. What does it
purify?
Purified. In other words, our knowledge of when it will happen is going to go through the process of becoming clarified, purified, cleansed. Many are going to be involved in the study of when is Mashiach going to come. Rashi says, "Yidbaru v'yitlatnu hacheshbonot ha'ele." As the time comes close, then there will become greater clarity in all of these calculations. The Tzarfu Rabim Rashi learns many people are going to be purified or purged in the course of this study. The Hirshiu Rishoyim, there are those who will become wicked. V'lo Yodvinu Kol Rishoyim, the Rishoyim will not understand. Rashi says, the Hirshiu Rishoyim, et ha-chashbonot l'chashbon k'shalot mishpat, there are Rishoyim who are going to make the calculations incorrectly. U'kishayichlu, and when their time comes, in other words, man is going to figure out, according to my chashbon, Mashiach is coming in 1984. And then when Mashiach doesn't come, they'll say, ein od ge'ula, there is no ge'ula. There is the danger. And Daniel is saying it already 2,500 years ago. You can't play games with this. V'hamaskilim yavinu. And here Rashi is beautiful. Without Rashi, I don't know what we could do. With all of the Rashi, we need Rashi. The intelligent, the Talmidei Chachamim understand Ota before eight hakeis when the time will come. You've just inspired me. I'll tell you what you've inspired me. That even when the case is coming close, then there are going to be those who say, no, it's not it. The only one who will be able to understand clearly that, yeah, it's happening are the tzaddikim. You will have people who, when the case is already staring them in the face, you see all of the evidence of tremendous changes in the world in general, and in the Jewish world in particular, and they'll still say, ah, it's a goddess. It's the Sitra Achra, it's this Sutton, it's this, it's that. It's possible to be blind when Mashiach is staring you in the face. This is a frightening Rashi. Not only is it a frightening Rashi, I see the truth of Rashi all around me. I see it all around me. So, a few million Jews came to Eretz Yisrael in the last 50 years or so. Big deal. That's right. It's possible. So that means Talmidei Chachamim have to understand it. And you know what? And if they don't understand it, then there's something lacking in their Talmidei Chachamim. Yes. Understand? But Rashi is saying it very clear. Number one, he says that you know when you're going to understand it. As it grows closer, and then v'amaskilim yavinu, they will understand it. Before eighth case, when the eighth case comes, it means others will not. There's always an amazing medrash. There's a medrash that 25 years, I don't think I fully understand the medrash. Yeah, medrash says the following: In Yom Alechadam, if a person is going to say to you, Kvar nitkansu kol hagoluyot, all of the exiles have already gathered in Eretz Yisrael. Ve'en Yerushalayim nivneit, and Yerushalayim has not yet been rebuilt. Al ta'amin, don't believe him. You understand? Somebody's going to tap you on the back at the Tachama Merkazit, or maybe at the Kotel, and all Jews have already returned to Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to tell you, this is Geula, it's a Gunish Megunish. So the Medrash has to tell you, number one, that there are going to be people that Klarnit Kansu Kol HaKoliyot, all of the exiles have already come back, and he's going to tell you, ain't Yerushalayim Nivnei? Yerushalayim's not been rebuilt. So the Medrash goes on to say, you should know, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, Bonei Yerushalayim, it's a pasuk we say in Davening every morning, Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem, the Rebbein Shem builds Yerushalayim, how does he build it? Nidchei Yisrael Yechanes, he gathers in the dispersed of Israel. If Kvarnit Kansu Kol HaGaluyot, if all of the exiles are back, then you should know this is Geula. There's Luchim Shabbos, there's this, there's that, you know. Medrash says Al Tamin, anybody who tells you that, don't believe it. Obviously what the Medrash is saying is the Rabbein Shem builds Yerushalayim. And do you know what the building stones of Yerushalayim are? The people. And if the Jewish people are here, if Kvarnit Kansu Kol HaGoliyot, then you should know this is it. What happens if Kvarnit Kansu Chatsi HaGoliyot? If half the Gola has already gathered in Eretz Yisrael, so it's half a Gola. So we're on the way. We're on the way. But he says people will not understand. Only the Maskilim will understand. And do you know when the Maskilim will understand? When it's coming closer. When, because the ones who don't want to understand will not understand even after it happens.
Never.
They'll never understand because they don't want to.
Why?
Why does the why don't they want? That's a
different story.
Now I have so many things that came to me this morning. I don't know. Let's see. Umei eight usar hatamid. From the time that the tamid had been removed, that means when they stopped bringing sacrifices at the end of the second Beth Hamikdash, that was 6 years before the Korban. V'latetz shikutz mishomein, and they put a shikutz, an idol, shomein, that is desolate. In other words, desolate is a description of the idol. It doesn't eat, it doesn't speak, it doesn't talk. And they put an idol into the Beth Hamikdash, yamin, elef matayim, 1,290. Elef Matayim Vetishim, 1,290. The Mepharshim will say, we don't know whether it's talking about days, whether it's weeks, whether it's months, whether it's units of 7 years. Ashrei HaMechakeh. Happy is the one who's going to wait. V'yagia. And by the way, this pasuk is one of the psukim that is used to enunciate principle number 12. In the Yud Gimel Ikin, an imam in the Bias HaMashiach. If the second pasuk in this chapter and the last pasuk, the next one, describe Chias HaMesim, this is Yimot HaMashiach. Achere HaMachake, fortunate, happy is the one who will wait for Yagia, and he will arrive Liyamim, to the days, Elef Shlosh Meot Shloshim V'Chamisha, 1,335. We may yet see some meaning over here. V'ata, the Malach now says, to Daniel, you, Lech Lakeitz, go in the direction of the end. The Tanuach, you're going to rest. The Tamod, Le Goralcha, and you are going to arise to your Goral, your destiny, Lakeitz Hayamin, at the end of days. Now, I went over this chapter in the wee early hours of the morning. You have the sheet in front of you? Right? You see, you have the sheet? No, the one you made, up on the now, the one. Yeah, with the Malden. Now, take a look. It's page Kuf Samach Aleph over there, right? Take a look at the page, the left-hand corner. Does it say Kuf Samach Aleph? All right. Okay. You see the page that has the pasuk we just read. Atolech Lakeitz. Now move over to the left-hand side. If you move immediately to the left-hand side and then go down a little bit, you have Feach Lakeitz Malbin. All right? Now, the Malbin on the left-hand side, Vo'omar, and I said, Adoni, Ma Acharit Eila, when is this end? Hainu Magiye Acharit Nemshelet Hasarim Holdim Al Svat HaYor Ritzon Aloma Ma. Now, in my Malbin, I go on to the next page, and we don't have the rest of the Malbin. It's missing in this beautiful set. However, I ran, I have an old set of the Malbin, and the old set of the Malbin is the third sheet that I gave you. And that third sheet that I gave you gives you the Malbin from here. There is, he wrote till the end of the chapter, till the end of the Sefer. In other words, in the this Malbim, and I'm going to have to find other Malbims. In the middle of Pasuk 8, I don't know, was it a printer's mistake? Or did they choose not to print the rest of the Malbim? Because you know what the Malbim does in that sheet that I gave you? He tells you when it's going to be. He figures it out. He makes the calculation. No, wait a minute. The Malbim makes the calculation. Now, I'll show you. Here. The Rashi print.
That's
see? Here's the Malbim.
Yeah.
Next page, there's nothing. But this is the middle of Pasuk Ches. Here is an old Malbim that goes not only from Pasuk Ches all the way to the end, over to the other side, and
If you'll take a look at this page that has Chazak on it, you see this page with Chazak? So first of all, it says Chazak. Schum psukei v'sefer Daniel.
Yeah.
She didn't get a good one.
Oh,
you got a bad one. Well, do we have another one of that? She's a good girl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So first of all, it says that schum psukei the sefer Daniel, the number of psukim in Daniel, ashlosh meot chamishim v'shiva, 357. All right? You don't even have to count them. It's all counted up for you. 357 psukim. Okay? That's three psukim more than the number of days in a lunar year. Now, if you think that the statement that I just made has significance, it has absolutely no significance at all. So don't read anything into it. Now, okay. If you want to know where the middle of the Sefer is, right after the after Daniel reads the handwriting of the wall, it says Bei Beleya that night Kotil Belshazzar. Belshazzar was killed. V'hakapitoli, how many capitals are there? 12. Okay. V'hasiman hava lanu Ezra mihava usedarav shiva. Now this I'm not going to go into now, because if I'm going to go into this, I'll keep you here till tomorrow. The chapters, we've spoken so many times in the past that the chapters are Christian and Catholic. There are no simanim for the chapters. We've been going through them, and never have been doing like everybody else does. And there are 12 chapters. The fact is that according to the Masorah, Daniel is divided into 7 segments. That's it. There are no 12 chapters. But let's forget about that. On that side of the page, I'm not going to go into it yet, but just go down the last paragraph. Onu kotvim et hadvarim ha'eleh. The Malvin says we are writing these things b'cheshvan shnas heitav reichav ches. We are writing this in the month of cheshvan heitav reichav ches, 5628. What year is that? That's 1868. Now you think I'm so smart? First of all, yeah. But second, because I always remember that Tafshin Chav Zayin was the 67 war. 1967 was Tafshin Chav Zayin. Tafshin Chav Ched was 1968. 100 years before Taf Reish Chav Ched is 1868. Now the Malvin says that he's writing the end of his parish. I think he dies about 7 or 8 years later. I'll get the exact date at one time. And he says it's Cheshvan of 1868. And according to the calculation as we have made it, Zman Hagula Yirchak Od Shishim Shana, another 60 years from now. When is that? 1928. All right. Now, no, there's no crash. There's no crash whatsoever. The Malvin was absolutely right. The Malvin was on the money. In other words, we're talking already. In other words, he had a choice of another 300 years, right? There are 350 years he could have talked about. What's he saying? When he talks about Geula, doesn't necessarily mean that Mashiach is going to come down, but that there are going to be major movements in the world. It's after the Balfour Declaration. It's after the League of Nations has approved Eretz Yisrael as a homeland for the Jewish people. The process of Aliyah, people are already beginning to come to Eretz Yisrael. There's a whole process that's taking place. Now, so there are those people who don't see the process when it's happening before their very eyes. He's not saying that in 1928, you understand? It's not completed. It's the process.
Beginning of the process.
That's right. Now, I'm not going to do any more here now, but I'm just going to tell you the eruption that took place in the Jewish world when he published this. There were those who yelled, how can you make a calculation? The Pesukim had just now said, don't make calculations. But remember, the Malvin had prepared us by saying the closer you get, the clearer you're going to see it. Because the amount of doubt diminishes, and the amount of positive, as you come closer to the end of the 6,000, to the year 6,000, it's going to become clearer and clearer. So I'll tell you the famous story. You know the famous story. Anyway, I'll tell you. I love saying it, so even if you heard it before, it's not like a joke on the internet. You can't tell jokes to people anymore. I just had somebody yesterday that some Israeli, Avega Hargett, a good English joke, but he tells me a joke, and a day earlier somebody had sent it to me from the internet. You understand? Today, if there's a joke in the world, the whole world knows it. So forget it. Can't say jokes, you can't say stories, there's nothing left. I think the best thing, silence is gold. There was an eruption in the Jewish world. What's the Malbim doing? He's telling us when the Gula is going to be, and the tidal wave of emotion against the Malbim, who's one of the greatest Mefarshim of Tanakh, until he was forced, I mean his students and his people close to him told him, you have to retract. So he published a one-page explanation. And the one-page explanation is the following story that I love to say, but this is the first time I'm saying the story at the source. Now, of course, let me tell you, I'm going to check with this company to find out why the whole second half of the Malbim on this chapter doesn't appear here. That's what shook me up. The Malbim story was the following. In a little shtetl in Europe, there lived a man who was a secular businessman. And every year, as businessmen will want to do, he would go off to the great fair in Leipzig. Travel weeks, the fair, you'd buy stuff, you'd come back, sell it, family lived for a year on it. They had a son who was bar mitzvah. Father tells the son, you know what my bar mitzvah present to you is going to be? I'm going to take you on my next journey to Leipzig. You can't imagine what joy it was for this little bar mitzvah boy. A trip across all of Europe. The great day comes, the coach is there. The mama state in the vein to choice, the eugen, you understand, mother is crying. And as they get into the coach to leave, of course, the mama sticks another sweater to the little boy, and most probably a sandwich, right? And then all of a sudden, the Balagula whips the horses, and the great journey begins over hills and over dales, whispering brooks, rolling green hills, towns, villages, and they're riding off. And the bar mitzvah boy, about an hour out, does what every little child does. Abba, when are we going to get there? And the father's response was, Afraskin Ponem. And the five fingers of the father were etched and engraved on the child's cheek. He never asked the question again. And meanwhile, as they kept going, day after day, going through towns and villages and crossing rivers and bridges, seeing the great cities and the small towns of Europe. An exciting, a tremendous journey. One day, the father gives a yell up to the Balagula and he says, when are we going to get to Leipzig? And the Balagula looks down and he says, another 2 hours to Leipzig. The bar mitzvah boy looks at his father and he says, Tata, when I asked you the question, you gave me a frask across the face. I won't forget it for the rest of my life. And now you ask the same question. So the father turned to his son and he said, when you asked the question, I knew that there was going to be a long journey ahead. So what was the point? But now I know that we're getting close. Said the Malbim. When the great long golas began, Chachmei Yisrael, their great wisdom said, don't make any calculations. More than that, Chachmei Yisrael, the Gemara says, there was a curse
on those who make calculations. Tipach ruchon shel mechashve kitzen. Let the life go out from those who attempt to figure out the end of days. Because what were you going to do to the Jew, you understand, who's suffering under the heel of Hadrian? Hadrian is killing hundreds of thousands of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. So you're going to tell him, hang in. 2,000 years, you're going to have Mashiach. Jewish communities in the Rhineland that are being crushed by the Crusaders. Don't worry. Help is around the corner. It's a big corner. Another 800 years, 900 years, you're going to have Mashiach. Am Yisrael, Chachma Yisrael, no, what are you going to do? You can't do that. It's destructive of the Jewish spirit. Ah, but when there are 2 hours to Leipzig, that's when you have to begin thinking about it. And therefore the Malvin said, it's 2 hours to Leipzig. We're getting closer and closer. And that's how he had understood the pasuk, Yidbaru, V'yitlatnu, V'yitzarfu. The closer you get, the clearer you're going to see it. Isn't that what Rashi said? And, you know, until it becomes cut off at Ace Kates, Rashi said, not until the moment of Gula, Tikare, when it's going to draw closer, then it's going to become clearer. Said the Malvin, we are now at the stage where it's becoming clearer. And therefore, he made the calculation. We'll see yet whether to go into the calculation. But that's Sefer Daniel. For next week, real homework. I would suggest you go through the first 3 chapters, even read them in English. Read them in English. 3 or 4 chapters, and just make notes of major, 3-4 lines on each chapter. Full events, it will make our review that much more effective, because you have 3 more classes. We're going to review in Yetz Hashem till the Eivish to help him, unless Mashiach comes in Yetz Hashem. We will in Yetz Hashem go through the Sefer. Okay.